Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this week, we are at war. Infinity War.
I was going to say, I survived the purge. Did you?
I'm here, aren't I? Or am I a voice beyond the grave?
I was talking about the listeners.
So the half
now
of
you're
you...
just a pile of dirt sitting on a chair.
That the half of you that aren't dust on the ground, yes. Or in the wind, as the Kansas
song. Thank you
song
for
goes.
Still listening.
Thanks for coming with us. You know, it's very interesting. I never really thought of The Leftovers as stealing the Infinity Gauntlet story.
In a way.
But
yeah.
It kind of did.
It just didn't have somebody doing it.
Right. So, or well, somebody may have done it.
A weepy
they just
environmentalist.
Never told us. Did you see that?
What?
That people were saying that he was a weepy environmentalist?
I said that.
Well, it wasn't just you. I mean, a lot of
people.
Like,
are
that's a
tuning
thing.
Tuning in on me?
Yeah. They're following along. They're listening to your phone conversations
did
and
my
reading
trolling
your text.
Get shared across the world?
Okay. So we are talking about Infinity War. Tons of spoilers this week. Not super. We're not going to spoil
maybe you should
everything.
Put that at the very beginning of the episode. But,
well, we haven't gotten into anything. There will be spoilers. There will be blood. There will be dust. I don't know. Anywho. But before we talk about that, right before we went on air, Ant-Man and the Wasp Trailer 2 dropped, and we just watched it a second ago.
Yeah.
Just what are your initial thoughts?
It looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for it. I mean, it's no secret of my affinity for the Ant-Man movie and for Paul Rudd. So my man crush, if whatever. But
you have a lot of man crushes.
Really, it's just Paul Rudd, to be honest.
You used to say somebody else too, but I can't remember.
Anyway, but
that Kevin Smith guy.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith.
Oh,
is
and
awesome.
That My Name Is Earl guy.
Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Now I just like Jason Lee's movies.
You're just naming all your machines so. After him.
Well, I named them all after his characters.
And then you pet them in weird ways.
Well, I lick them at night before I go to bed too. So. Anyway. all right. So Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out July 6th. Looks awesome.
The ending should be great.
So yeah. It should, right?
Well, I would be willing to bet that the ending will be the ending we just seen in this movie.
All right, I think, just spoilers, I think they are both going to come out of it unscathed because
they are.
They're going
his
to
his daughter's
going to
be gone. Her dad's going to be gone.
Yeah, his crew, they're all gone.
Right.
You know, it's just the two of them and the Ronin version of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Trying to track down the Avengers.
Well, Hawkeye's family will disappear. Yep. That'll be the after credits in Ant-Man.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be
all right.
That'd be the way I'd do it if
I agree.
Because I think they should be in the next one.
Well, they have to be.
Yeah.
I mean, the choices are limited at this point.
No.
All right.
I just think the shrinking ability is going to come in handy to steal that gauntlet.
Mm-hmm. Sneak in.
Yeah.
Pop it off.
Yep. Exactly. So.
All right, let's just get right to it then. Infinity War.
And I look forward to Michael Douglas and Captain Marvel. I bet he's going to be in that.
He's got
to
be.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to
him and
I mean,
Michelle Pfeiffer
him.
Will be in that as Ant-Man and Wasp.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So,
it'll be the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on a whole, I like this movie.
Uh-huh.
I have nits to pick.
There's minor.
But they're minor.
Yeah.
Like, nothing... Nothing, I don't have any, Justice League size problem with anything.
I can't say that I have even Last Jedi size problems, and I didn't
I'll
have
agree
a
with
lot
that.
Of problems
yeah.
with Last Jedi. But Last Jedi, I could point out the issues, off the top of my head still.
Yeah.
Whereas with Avengers, and I've only seen it once, you've seen it twice.
I went and saw it on Saturday and then again on Monday.
With Avengers, the minor nitpicks are so minor that I don't remember them that well.
Yeah.
I only have one major nitpick.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Right.
So, all right. So this movie. Okay. So the first time I saw this, I don't know if it came across the text. I wasn't really sure how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Because I came
out
of it.
But then I threw you for a loop and.
Well, and yeah. Well, I'm going to get to that too. So I came out of the movie the first time thinking, wow, I felt like John Goodman was going to come and yell at me at some point
for
because
what?
I walked in on the middle of a conversation.
Oh, okay.
Big Lebowski reference there. That's what I felt like the first time I saw the movie. Like it was the middle of an 18-year conversation that I walked into, and maybe because I wasn't prepared for it to just start the way it did.
Because it started with the end of Thor Ragnarok. It
literally started with the end of Thor Ragnarok. And I was expecting maybe a little more pretense and build up.
Right.
And having read Infinity Gauntlet, and then I've been looking back over for the last couple of days. I didn't read it before going in.
Which I would say you don't really have to.
And I would say don't read it before you go in.
Right.
Just
you may be disappointed.
I don't think you'll be disappointed. I just think it's a very different story.
I mean, if you love that story, you may be disappointed.
Maybe.
It's not the Infinity Gauntlet.
It is absolutely not. Because he's finding the stones. Mm-hmm. He only has two of them.
It's more
and the
Thanos'
glove.
Quest. It's the it two is. Issues story that was before Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos' Quest.
And I almost think they should have called this, like, instead of calling it Avengers Infinity War, it should have been Thanos, you know.
The only reason Avengers is there, Captain America is there at this point, is because people need to know what these are.
Right.
Because, I mean, you couldn't have just called the movie Civil War.
Right.
Which, you know, I think that I actually think that Civil War should have been called Avengers Civil War.
Yeah. Well, and I think
it would have been a more logical story.
I think you take then the Avengers moniker off of this and just call this Thanos Infinity Gathering or something like that. Infinity War. Infinity Hunt.
Thanos Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, just like people are saying, what should the next one be called? And it should be called the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, and I think
that's
going to
be
what
it's going to be about. Is somebody needs to get that.
Yeah.
To get control back of the universe.
So.
Or to get chaos back in the universe.
Yeah, to unbalance things again, Jedi style.
I feel like I want a shirt that says Thanos was right.
Dude, okay, so I've gotten yelled at by a bunch of people because I have said specifically, I don't see what's wrong with what Thanos is doing here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with
him. Because what he did in the movie is different from what he did in the book, and the story
exactly.
in the book. Because in the book, he was doing it for the love of death.
Yes.
And in this, he is doing it to save the universe.
Yeah, he's an environmentalist,
he's
like you
superhero.
Said.
He's a superhero.
Yeah.
He's the hero of the story, and they're all the villains.
The Avengers are the bad guys.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
Like, it's,
from his point of view,
right.
that is the truth.
And you know, from when you think about it from a certain point of view,
yeah,
he's not wrong.
Right.
And I think that's a hard thing for people to kind of understand. And, like, you know, we love life and we love humanity, and the Avengers are here to save us. But
I just have
time,
more
like,
sociopathic tendencies because a perfect example. We were talking about it after we'd seen it because she went with me. And we're sitting there. The credits are rolling and I'm talking. I told her, I said, I think he was right. I said, because of, you know, if you look at the world, the real world,
right.
not the Avengers world, but the real world, if somebody had that ability to fix that, they would be right.
Yeah. They'd snap, right?
And then we got up, you know, the credit rolls. Mm-hmm. We got up and we're walking out. And I said, look, I said, there's a full bucket of popcorn. And an empty pop cup sitting on the floor, like almost a full bucket of popcorn. I said, look at how wasteful these humans are. I'm like, you know, it's just that thing where it's like, look at all the waste.
Yeah.
And then people want to get upset. It's like, maybe you should look at yourself in the mirror once in a while.
Right.
I know I do bad things. And I'm like, if I was one of the ones that was wiped out. Okay. Fair enough.
It's random. You know, he even said it doesn't matter, rich or poor, it's random.
I'm not here to judge. I am here to execute. It's pretty much what his job was. And that's pretty much what he made clear. The glove will decide. Or it doesn't even decide. It just, you know, it's a random lottery.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, it picked a lot of Avengers to be wiping out there. And like all the Guardians of the Galaxy except Rocket.
Except Rocket? Well, and
Nebula, if you count her as a Guardian.
Okay. So this movie picks up right where Thor leaves off.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the, I think this is how it got So on second viewing, I kind of understood what I was expecting. You know,
you got the Kobayashi Maru at the beginning.
Yeah, and yeah.
I mean, literally,
Loki has this the Kobayashi Asgard, Maru.
This is the Asgardian ship, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, "What? Where's Captain Kirk at?"
Right. So Thanos and the Black Order are laying waste to the Asgardians. You have Maul reading his scripture.
Yeah.
Fanatic. Yes, definitely. And you see Heimdall.
Like severely injured?
Yeah, mortally wounded.
Where was Korg? And...
Yeah, well, so Tessa Thompson
tweeted
a picture of where she was during it.
Yeah.
She is a goat. That Sebastian Stan was holding on set. So she's like, look, I'm in the movie, and it's Sebastian Stan holding a goat, okay, saying she got turned into a goat.
Okay.
So I think it made sense for them not to be there.
Yeah.
To be honest, a little bit.
Because
they were going to get killed if we saw them.
Yeah, that's true.
Know, this is the end of the line for
Edris. Just like Sif. Sif is...
Right, Sif is somewhere.
Somewhere in
she's
the galaxy
probably disappeared
on a
at this point, but...
Well, no, she was on a mission, right. Yeah.
So Heimdall is mortally wounded. We know Idris doesn't like doing the movies. He's done. He's said several times he doesn't want to do these anymore.
Thor don't need him no more?
Yeah, well, exactly. And we'll get to that.
We promise this will not be a two-hour podcast. We will keep it at an hour.
Oh, yeah. But the first time we see Thanos...
Yeah?
I was shocked at how good the CG was.
Mm-hmm. Like seamless.
One, they actually used Josh Brolin's eyes with the mocap and everything.
Right.
So that helped. I think that really, really helped. And two, I mean, when he's shrugging off the armor, everything has weight to it. Everything is in the moment. Everything has a gravity that's like holding it where it
Do
should be.
Do you think
be,
that
and,
he was wearing some kind of like Nerf type of thing that he was lifting
I'm sure
off?
He
yeah.
did. Because we've seen... So I bought Thor Ragnarok finally.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the, you know,
yeah.
the other version that I was watching. And Mark Ruffalo was wearing stuff like that
right,
that he
yeah,
was
sure.
throwing off when he does the mocap for the Hulk in that one for some of the scenes.
Right.
So... To do him as a complete CG character and to give depth in like every like crease and the
I wasn't
little...
too worried about it just because the Hulk looked so good.
Yeah, but did you notice like the scarring on his arms around his
he
shoulders?
Tore up.
Like
yeah.
it was really cool. And that right there, I was
just
like,
the wrinkles and
in his
like,
face,
the
yeah.
grooves in his face
and chin,
like just where he's old.
Yep,
you know that he's old at this point, and just like you know stuff. Stuff's been he's been through stuff,
but when I saw that, it was kind of a
yeah,
you know, moment where it's like, okay,
like,
I'm
oh,
good.
It's not a guy in a purple suit.
It's you know, I was concerned that it was gonna be
a guy in a purple suit.
So Thor, he's got Thor by the head, which we saw in the preview,
right?
Loki steps up and try like you think he's turning the tables, and Thor. You really are the worst, brother. It was so funny. Because even in that moment...
Because the Tesseract was supposed to be
right.
destroyed on Asgard, and,
yeah,
and we know
and
it wasn't.
Loki pulls it out, and he's like, oh, I have it right here.
Yeah.
And then Loki freaking dies.
Mm-hmm. I called that one.
I know you called it, but man, the way that it happened...
I figured he
was
either going to
awesome.
Snap his neck...
Yeah.
Or literally, like, running through...
Yeah.
With the staff, like the staff he had given him.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, he snapped his neck.
But watching him struggle mm-hmm. and the whole you'll never be a god thing.
Yep.
And it's like, well, I don't need to be, you know.
Yep.
And then Chris Hemsworth, over the course of this movie. So since the Team Thor shorts into Ragnarok, into this movie, has legit become my favorite Avenger.
Okay.
Because
Chris Hemsworth's gotten better?
I think they finally gave him the role where it's fun to do.
Well, it's that whole thing where I think that, you know, with what Chris Hemsworth done in between movies and, you know, what, between Dark World and Ragnarok was...
Vacation.
How many years?
Rush. Yeah, I mean, it was a couple
years.
So
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters
was
the best
after
part. Dark World.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he was
the best. I still haven't watched that one yet.
He's the best part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad movie, but he's the best part of it because of his comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff with Vacation, the stuff, like, just all the comedy stuff shows that he should be the Thor that the comic book Thor
but
has
like,
been.
Rush, the movie with him and Baron Zemo. Yeah.
The Ron Howard movie.
The Moby Dick Ron Howard movie with him and Tom Holland. That's really good. The Heart of Darkness or...
In
the Heart of the Sea. Thank you. That's really good. You'll like that one.
I just haven't watched it.
But I think Taika Waititi really found the stride for what Thor should be from both the Earthbound Avengers and the cosmic aspect.
Right.
And how Thor needs to be a little mad because in the comics he's always been a little mad, a little off, especially when it was
1500 years old,
right?
Which we find out for
which
the first
we learned
time.
For the first time. But it was especially like in the comics if you look like when he was the going back between like Thor and Donald Blake,
right?
Like he was off. He was off kilter as Thor. It was nothing was quite what it should be. And like even on the during the Simonson run,
well, right?
Thor was, so yeah, he legitimately sets himself up. Let me rephrase that. They legitimately set him up to finally be as powerful as he should be.
Right.
I've always felt that Iron Man was a little overpowered in this universe.
Yeah, I guess.
I've always felt that Thor was underpowered.
I have thought, you know, how can he build so many armors so fast? Like, you know, at one point you have 43 armors and it's like, even if you stayed up every night for a year, you would not be able to build all that fast.
He had those machines that the little AIs that worked for him and Jarvis. But so Thor's arc was definitely Thanos is definitely the main character of this movie.
Sure.
Thor is the main Avenger in this movie.
Yeah.
I think he has kind of
the biggest part of the story.
And he meets up with the Guardians.
Yep.
And I know we talked about this a little yesterday.
Well, and you got to point out when the Guardians find him, because the Guardians are on their way to answer the distress signal
of the Asgard ship,
he says not all of them are dead. So they're just floating out there in space.
Half of, because, I mean, I would assume they're all able to survive like he is.
So Korg and Valkyrie were just floating around out in space.
I did like the Guardians when they were coming in. They're like, you know, he'll pay us, give us a little cheddar.
Yeah.
Or we'll take his ship, and Gamora turns and looks at Star-Lord, and he's like, and they're totally taking his ship if they can. Now, you had said you kind of wish James Gunn directed this.
Yeah.
And I said I thought it would have been cool if it was like a team.
Like a
four-person team of directors.
Well, even if it would have been the Russo brothers and James Gunn doing it, and James Gunn would have done like the outer space stuff, and Russo's would have like focused on
the
what was going on
Thanos,
Earth and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Russos did a really good job capturing.
The Russos should have if they would have done it where it would have been a multi-director movie, even though it didn't need.
I mean, it already is a multi-director movie with the two.
Yeah, but it didn't need to be like a multi-director movie, like three or four people.
Right.
But if it was, the Guardian stuff could have been James Gunn just because it didn't feel totally like James Gunn.
So I feel like they caught the spirit of them.
Yeah.
Like they should have. And I think they did a good job with Drax more than anything of not going too far like James Gunn did in Volume 2.
Right.
I think Drax being one of the breakout hits of the first volume.
Right.
And then Drax being kind of really overdone in the second volume.
Right.
This was
like too witty.
He was perfect.
Right.
In this. Like of all the Guardians, he was perfect.
And it wasn't like anything where it's any criticism towards the Russos.
Not.
It was just, I would have liked to seen James Gunn's version of this. Would have been a little bit more crazy. I mean,
he was listed as an executive producer, so he may have been on set.
Him and Favreau were like, you know, the Russos probably were going to them because those two have set up most of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they set the foundation for ground and space.
Right.
But I loved Rocket this time out too. And I want a Rocket Thor Groot franchise.
Yeah,
just
like
the three of them,
a movie
like,
with them
off on their own.
I like that Thor speaks Groot.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was an elective on Asgard.
Yeah.
So,
Rocket's like, you speak that?
I loved how he kept calling him Tree, though.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I am Groot. And yeah. he's like, whatever, Tree.
Yeah.
Groot was great. The adolescent Groot was really good.
Doing what he had to do when he had to do it. And like, you know,
And only then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, did you notice on his game console, the Defenders Galaxy or whatever? It was the Defenders logo from the comics.
No, I wasn't paying that close.
I thought
attention.
That was kind of cool. That was a fun little thing to put in there.
That's the stuff I watch when I get it on.
I know.
At home.
I just noticed it the second time seeing it. What else? Okay.
Plus,
so,
there were 400 people in my theater, so there are certain things that I missed.
Okay, so the first time we went to see it, it was me and the wife and the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the tickets at the Regal.
Right.
And we were supposed to be in the big theater, it wasn't the RPX screen, but the big one.
Right.
And I guess they were having an issue, so we had to go into a smaller one. Okay. So we still got to see it, but they also gave us like 3 free passes to come back and see another movie later. But we were definitely in a smaller theater, and like, it was like, oh man, like, I really wanted to see this on that big screen.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go back and see this in IMAX at some point.
That's my...
Just because it was shot in an IMAX?
Did they? Okay.
They shot it with all IMAX cameras.
Okay, that was my question, because I want to see this on a screen like
that.
Like,
at the very end of the credits, like, the IMAX, like, credit is in there.
Okay.
And I was like, I had read that already, that they had shot it in IMAX.
Well, maybe after Free Comic Book Day on Saturday for a week.
I won't be, but
anyway. So that part with Thor is awesome. So with everything that's happening on that ship, Hulk comes out, Hulk fights Thanos for a minute.
Yeah.
Hulk gets his lunch handed to him by Thanos.
Yeah.
Which was really a cool scene to watch. And then Heimdall in his last
uses
bit
the last
of
his dark arts
of everything. Silver Surfers him to Earth.
Yeah.
So, in Infinity Gauntlet, Silver Surfer is the one who crashes into the
I remember
Sanctum Sanctorum, and you know, is the whole Thanos is coming. It worked so well with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
he did such a great job being disoriented, kind of like, oh, I haven't been on Earth for a few years. What's going on? But still being strangely cool with everything that needed to happen from like the science bro perspective.
Right.
What did you think of Doctor Strange this time out?
I was fine with him.
Yeah.
He didn't need to really play a big role in this movie, mm-mm. but I liked the role he played.
Yeah.
Like, his banter with Tony was some of the best because they're the same kind of egotistical person.
I loved when he called him a douchebag.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah.
In The Wizards, you know, when he's like, you're embarrassing me in front of the wizards.
Yeah.
That was a great line. Him versus Ebony Maw was a really cool pairing.
Yeah.
Wong was great. The little bit he was in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think that everybody had the beat that they had. Like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Was good.
Yeah.
And now we know that they're engaged.
They're engaged.
So
maybe
the end,
get married.
The end of Infinity War 2 will be the wedding.
No, he's gonna die.
He's not gonna die.
So, it's
he won't die.
There's the idea of happiness in his future. He's got to go.
Yeah. Okay.
So
this isn't Lost.
Well, it's not a lot of things.
Right.
Anyway, I thought they were really good. I think the way Spidey came into the story was really good, especially pairing up with that group.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure where he was going to be in all of it. I knew he was going to be in space. I just wasn't sure how he was getting there.
The Doctor Strange thing makes sense because Spidey visits Doctor Strange a lot. So,
well,
you know,
now they've met for the first time, and
all right.
I really wish that hadn't been in the trailer.
Yeah,
the two of them.
The whole code name thing.
When he's like, "I'm Spider-Man," or when he's like, "I'm Peter,"
so,
and he goes, "I'm Doctor Strange."
Here's my one complaint about Spider-Man for this MCU.
Yeah,
I don't need any more of the "Hey, remember that old movie?" because those movies aren't that old.
25
to 30 years is not that old.
But when you're 16.
I've never heard anybody that I work with at 16 say, hey, remember that old movie Star Wars?
I hope this is the last time they do it.
Yeah.
So they didn't do it in Homecoming.
Well, right, because the Russo brothers didn't
write
Homecoming.
Brothers thing.
Right.
Um,
that's one of those like nitpicks.
Yeah. Although it was funny because as soon as he said that, it's like, oh, they're blowing a hole in the
They're
going to
blow
ship.
Him out of the, so. Yeah, blow him out of the airlock or something.
Ebony Maw, I think, as far as the Black Order goes,
yeah,
he was some mix of practical and CGI.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I think he was the only one who was really not mostly CGI.
Right.
Because he didn't have a lot of like the flippy jumping around things. Right. He was great.
Well, the guy who played, what's the big one's name again?
Cole Obsidian.
Is the same guy who played Kong in Skull Island.
Oh, cool.
Terry Notary, I think, is his name. And he's also played some of the apes in Planet or the new Planet of the Apes movies. And that, so he's
he was also Teen Groot.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I thought that Sean Gunn was Sean Gunn was Rocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but yeah, no, and I at first I thought it was Domhnall Gleeson's voice.
For
Ebony Maw?
Oh. No, it actually is the guy who played Ebony Maw.
Right, but I'm saying it sounded just kind of Huxy in there. It sounded like his voice he uses for Hux. And that was Tom Von Lawler who played him.
Yeah.
It says here no voice actor for the role has been named, but that was because
right. You know, he played the
So this is like talking about the Black Order. Mm-hmm. My biggest nit to pick was Proxima Midnight.
Mine was just the whole Black Order.
Well, I agree with you on this.
But well, just Proxima, because there's no reason overhyped.
Yeah, but there's no reason Proxima Midnight should have been a full CG character.
Yeah.
Carrie Coon, they had her do the voice. They could have brought her in.
They probably did the mocap with her, though.
No, because she came in and did the voice late in the game.
Oh.
Like, all the lines.
So did they have somebody else mocap that?
It doesn't say. Yeah, it just says it was voiced by her. It doesn't say who did the mocap or anything. That was my biggest nit to pick with the Black Order. The big problem with the Black Order was
they all died too easy.
They were so forgettable. Like, you know,
for hyping them up as much as they did last year at San Diego.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, a couple of them should have survived till the next movie at least. I said talking to people, you know, because everybody's seen this movie, talking to people that I work with, I said it would have been cool if Ebony Maw would have been on Titan when the disappearances started.
Yeah.
And would have been like disappearing and saying praise Thanos for his glory
that
or something.
Been really cool.
And I would have been like, yeah, then it proves that the gauntlet just picks whoever.
Right.
It's just randomness. Because we literally just see every Avenger disappear.
Every non-original Avenger.
Yeah.
The OG Avengers are the only ones
right,
that are left.
Yeah, I pointed that out. So, yeah.
And Rocket. And
Nebula
and
there's a reason for that.
Well, and then War Machine.
War Machine. He's one of the original Avengers.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I think the way that Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive were introduced with I think what was the weakest part of the story with Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Helped us realize that the hype was way too much of a buildup for these guys.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Vision is injured immediately, like mortally wounded almost immediately.
Right.
And Scarlet Witch is fighting them off with one hand. And I mean, she's super powerful.
Oh, right. But she's got the power of an infinity stone.
And, you know, she's been steeped in it like a strong cup of tea.
And if you think about it, they have not fought an infinity stone.
Right.
At all.
But when Vision shot the laser out of the Mind Stone at Glaive, you know, he easily deflected it. You know,
but it's just a laser beam. I mean, well, you know, it's not the Mind Stone. It's just the
so anyway,
the operating machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael James Shaw was the actor, but I'm sure he did the voice, too, because he didn't really have many lines.
Yeah.
Just the get up. I can't.
Yeah.
I think that was about it.
He played Papa Midnight on Hellblazer, or not Hellblazer,
Lucifer. Constantine. Oh, Lucifer? Oh.
Yeah, he's Papa Midnight on
that. Oh, all right, cool. Yeah. Have you watched that one?
No, I just know that he played Papa Midnight. I looked all them up beforehand because I was, like, curious as to how they were you know, interactive in this thing.
But all right, let's see.
So they were the most disappointing part of the movie, and I think it was more because I felt like they were hyped up enough that it should have been, you know, like I said, a couple of them surviving, or at least not coming out of it with the erasure,
right,
of everything. Like I would have liked to seen, like I said, Ebony Maw just disappearing, because he was such a fanatic.
He was.
That he would have been praising the rapture that Thanos had brought.
I did love his little scripture reading that he would give as he like was walking through.
Oh, coming to a planet. And when they show Gamora's flashback.
Yeah.
Which, she was a poor girl living on that planet.
Yeah.
I always thought that maybe she was like, you know, a princess, because that's what they made her always sound like.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, it's because she kind of was with Thanos.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what I mean. But they made it seem like she was a princess.
That she came from royalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool. I told you before we saw this, like going in, that was a part I was interested in seeing, was that flashback with baby Gamora. And I think it really, it sold her story really well.
Yeah.
And I think, I was the, what was it? News or, no, comic, either.
One of the sites.
Comic Book Resources. One of the girls there wrote how Gamora was fridged in this movie.
What do you mean? What, like, does that mean?
You know, the girls in fridges thing where...
Oh, because she was pushed off of a rock. Yeah, and
but, like, she wasn't pushed off of the rock to further the story for the male protagonist in the case of Thanos, just to, you know, have the gratuitous death.
Yeah.
She was the sacrifice, and there's no way she's dead. She's in the soul world. She's the Adam Warlock of this story from Infinity Gauntlet.
Maybe, yeah.
I think that's how it's going to go.
I don't think she's coming back.
You don't?
I think she's going to be Death in the next one. I think that they'll have Zoe Saldana come back, but she's going to be playing Death.
That would be so cool.
Because that's who that little version of her was when she turns around and goes, "Well, did you do it?"
She said, was it worth it?
Well, yeah. Well, so, it's Death. That's Death.
That is... Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So, I think Zoe Saldana will come back. She'll look like Gamora, but it will not be Gamora. It will be Death. And at certain points, if they do the effect right, you'll see the shadow of the skull. Yeah. And it's like, yeah.
I love that.
Because I don't think she should come back.
No.
I think that, you know, yeah, it sucks for a Guardians movie that you won't have Gamora in it. But guess what? The Guardians are an interchangeable team.
Yeah.
And if Nebula survives, Nebula's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Sure.
Peter grieves. Yeah. And, you know.
And it'll be really interesting to see a grieving Star-Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For a whole Guardians movie, not just a half hour of an Avengers movie. Yeah. Like I said, I loved everything that the Avengers were part of. Both sets of teams.
So did you like the oh shit moment?
Which oh shit moment?
When the Red Skull shows up.
Oh, yeah, I did actually. And
that was literally, I told somebody at work, they hadn't seen it yet. And I said, there are moments that are like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. I said, and then there's one, oh, my God.
I did say I thought he was going to come back.
Well, I was just like, you know, finally they show him coming back. Like, finally they explain where he went.
And I'm glad it was
Ross Marquand.
Marquand instead of Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
I
mean, the makeup was excellent. Well, like, it looked like him.
That's the point, though. It's makeup. It doesn't matter who's underneath it.
But
at
I mean, he had the voice down and everything else.
So, see, I was thinking he was Death.
Yeah?
Like, that Death.
Well, they made you think that. Like, for the Marvel comic book fans, it's like the first thing when you see that floating being, I'm like, oh, is this Death?
Well, because, you know, they had said that Death wasn't in the movie, but,
and then I'm
you know,
why is Death got a German accent?
Why is Death's face all red? Oh, holy crap, it's the Red Skull. No,
as soon as he, like, stood down on the ground and pulled his head back, I'm like,
yeah.
Yes! I'm like, finally, the answer to my question.
And I love how the Tesseract sent him there.
Yeah.
As on a purpose. Penance.
Yeah.
To make up for trying to harness the power of the Tesseract. Yep. I mean, it was
was not not worthy.
So and you know, he's still there.
Yeah,
he can come back. Yeah, sure. Like, they didn't kill him off. He may have disappeared, I don't know, but that was great. That whole ordeal with him finding the stone, with her knowing where the stone was. getting to nowhere.
Right.
And Drax going off book, Gamora going off book, you know.
Just the uses of the stones.
Yes.
Was awesome.
The way the reality stone was used was great.
Yep.
Well,
and that's what, is like, when we talked about the whole thing with Thor Dark World.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you watch that movie, now you are already prepared for what he does with that stone, because I'm like, reality shifts. And that, yeah, Collector's dead.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Because I did like how he was waving goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I thought, like, okay, well, Benicio's done. So
he's got to go do a Star Wars movie.
Did you watch Arrested Development?
Everything is up the current couple of years.
So, you know, the Russos directed most
Arrested Development. Yeah.
So in one of the pods was a never nude blue man.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tobias.
Oh, okay.
So, I thought I saw that, and then I went and I looked it up, and it was, you know, and it was true. So that was kind of fun, because the stair car was in Civil War.
Right.
So the Bluth stair car.
Yeah.
Because there will be hop-ons. I loved Star-Lord throughout all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, Chris Hemsworth, so many Chris's, has come into the role for Thor.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is, I mean, he was Star-Lord already, but this was a very
Version very of Star-Lord was a one who's had this team around for a couple years now. Is, you know, he has a family.
It's finally a family who's not threatening to eat him, because they ain't never tasted Terran meat before. They never had no Terran before.
And, you know, he finally found a family.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like one of those things where, you know, when he finds out what happens to Gamora, it's like, you know, it tears him up again.
Yeah.
And he literally goes back to what happened with his mother.
Yeah. And he totally blows the mission for them.
Oh, yeah.
Which he had one.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing that I was talking to somebody about. Doctor Strange does all the time jumps and tells them, we won one time.
One time.
It was not on Titan that they won. They won one time and it's coming.
Right.
And that's why he gave up the stone.
He knew.
Yeah, and that's what he's like when he's fading away and he tells Tony, you know.
Yeah,
it had to happen. Yeah, it had to happen.
Star-Lord had one of my favorite lines in the whole movie, though.
What's that?
Is when he told them, he goes, I'm 50% human, or my stupid half is 50% human. That's 100% of you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that's so awesome. You know, it's like, one, he recognizes that half of him is stupid.
Right.
And two, he's like, but you guys are all stupid.
Right.
Because his plan worked. I mean, it would have worked.
Yeah.
Had he not been the one that blew it.
Right.
It was very much a John Crichton kind of a plan and moment for him, to, because, you know, Crichton always made the plans and they never worked, and then when they did, it was inevitably something that John did that, that ruined the plan. Spider-Man in those scenes was really good, like swinging around saving everybody.
I don't know who anybody's, I don't remember name anybody's
names, I'm sorry. You know, he was just Tom Holland, I think, other than Robert Downey Jr., has been able to step into the role he's been given in the MCU and fill it perfectly.
You don't think Chris Evans?
I think Chris Evans, by the last half hour of Captain America, was finally where I was finally like, yeah, I get it. Like, yeah, this is Cap.
Yeah. I think he was Steve throughout the entire movie.
Right.
Captain America really didn't show up in that movie until near the end.
Sure. I think there were a few rough patches with Evans at first.
Yeah.
Just because of the way Joe Johnston kind of told that story.
Yeah.
But I love that story. And I'm not bashing it at all. I also think the first
Avenger, I don't feel like Captain America shows up until the end of the movie.
Right.
Even though he's Captain America.
But
he's Steve Rogers.
I also feel like he had to deal with the fact that he was Johnny Storm coming in to Steve Rogers. And you know, again, that might just be me, by viewing that. But I definitely think Tom Holland stepped into...
It wasn't that hard.
Well, but...
You literally have five movies to watch to go, this is what I don't do.
Well, I was going to say, Tobey Maguire did some things right. But he wasn't self-deprecating enough.
They all do something right.
Right.
Like, you know, even going back to the 70s Spider-Man TV series, every actor has done something right with Peter Parker,
mm-hmm.
but they cast the right age.
Right.
They cast, you know, a person who was a fan of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, you saw the training video. He turned himself into a real-life Spider-Man without the powers.
This is a guy who's been acting for, you know, pretty much his whole life.
I mean, he's, what, 20? 22, maybe? Yeah, he's, like,
in his early 20s. Yeah. But, I mean, he's been acting since he was a little kid.
I mean, he was Billy Elliot on Broadway.
And, like I said, go watch those other five movies.
Yeah.
You can see the mistakes that were made.
I agree. But at the same time, you can see those mistakes. But he actively avoids those mistakes. And yeah. he steps on all the right potholes.
Well, sure. Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's a credit to the writing. I mean,
it
you
is.
Know.
So. Yeah. So we haven't talked anything about Cap showing up. That was a cool scene.
Yeah.
Again, a scene I feel like was ruined by the preview. That was something that.
I think, like, in the preview, it wasn't set up like it is in that, where you're like, when he shows up, you're like, oh, this is that.
This is that.
Yeah.
I you know.
This is one of those movies where I'm like, the previews had enough in it, mm-hmm. but it's like, you know, yeah, everything that you knew from the previews was a minor part of the story that majorly affected the story.
Right. I feel like, too, they showed a little too much of the third act.
Yeah.
In the previews.
The battle?
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
So Wakanda was minor.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the last staging ground.
Right.
It wasn't a huge part.
Well, it was the whole thing of, let's take this stone there and, you know, we'll protect it.
Well, and you know, Bruce couldn't fix it, couldn't fix Vision.
Oh, right.
And Cap's like, I know, I got a guy.
Yeah.
In this case, I got a girl. And you know, it was great to see those characters.
Yeah.
It was, I did like the, Michonne, what's her character's name?
Okoye.
Thank you. You know, when she was like, this is not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
When you said you're opening Wakanda, I thought maybe the Olympics or a Starbucks.
Yeah.
was really good.
Well, the whole thing with the White Wolf.
Yeah.
Was cool. Giving him a new arm.
Yeah, the arm. And the arm is very much looks like the Black Panther suit
mm-hmm.
with the gold, kind of like what Killmonger's suit looked like.
Yep.
A little bit.
Having Mobutu,
yeah,
the leader of the guerrilla tribe, come back.
Yep.
And I was like, that was cool because he had the strongest army.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's cool that they use that to their advantage.
So hopefully that's the next Black Panther movie, is them actually falling out. You know,
maybe,
but
you think the man ape story?
Yeah,
I don't want them to do that though. I don't want them to like skew toward the comic books as much as
I get it. Okay,
because I mean, you know, I think that using the idea of the White Wolf and another Black Panther movie,
yeah,
is a cool idea.
So
because I think that Bucky deserves to have a role in this universe that isn't Captain America.
Yeah,
that's his own thing that he can, you know, be part of.
And it would fit based on who the White Wolf was in the comics as well, just because he's an adopted Caucasian brother of T'Challa.
Yeah.
This is just an adopted brother in war kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bucky, I thought Bucky wasn't used enough in this movie.
I don't think he needed to be.
I also think...
I think
more, if they would have done more, it would have been too much, if that makes sense.
I think that a lot of the stuff that we got in this movie was... wrapping up everything from the 10 years.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the fact of Thunderbolt confronting Cap
mm-hmm.
and, you know, pretty much Rhodey's like, yeah, I'm just going to go with the Avengers on this one.
Yeah, I'm
and shuts him down.
Yep.
The fact that Bruce is in the room.
Yeah.
But Thunderbolt doesn't know he's in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that was awesome.
That was really
because
cool.
I'm like, the whole time that Rhodey's having a conversation with Thunderbolt, Bruce is right back there in the corner.
Right.
And I'm like, he didn't want him to see him.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, why would he see him?
Yeah.
You know, it's better to not know the Hulk is back.
Yeah. He'd be like, wait a minute.
So
you don't look like Ed Norton.
one thing we forgot to talk about Thor in the Guardians was when they find him.
Yeah.
That scene is hilarious because they are all in love with him.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole pirate, like a pirate had angel. A baby with an angel and his pirate angel.
Yeah.
And Star-Lord is like, he's just a dude. And Drax goes, no, you're a dude. This is a man.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Gamora, like, massaging his arms. Yep. Like, it feels like steel. And he's like, stop massaging. And we found out how he got an eye back.
Yeah, I told you that it was going to be.
And I think that was a good way to do it.
Well, yeah.
And it was rocking. Well,
and the eye shimmers.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that eye shimmering.
And I liked how it was Rocket showing a sign of respect,
mm-hmm.
you know, to give up one of his toys.
Mm-hmm.
The scene on, how do you say it?
Narfil?
Yeah. What did you think of that with Peter Dinklage?
I thought it was cool. I mean, it's a good way to explain everything that came from it explains like the weapons in that universe,
yeah,
like perfectly,
right? Okay.
And it sets up the whole thing of the pieces of Mjolnir are still in Norway,
yeah,
which means that somebody could get hold of that and do something with it.
Yeah I was thinking Tony was gonna do something with that.
I know, what I was like, but I'm like, that's just set up for the next, you know,
the next Thor movie.
Stormbreaker. Yeah,
was so cool looking.
Yep.
I loved where the arm came from.
Yeah,
the handle with Groot doing that,
yep.
getting it done. Groot's worthy.
That was spoiled before the movie,
right?
Like, before the previews, because it was the toy.
The toy. But
yeah.
Groot is worthy.
Yeah,
because he was able to hold it up and, you know, do that. It was like I said at the beginning here. It was nice to see Thor at a power level where he should be.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Spider-Man at a power level where he should be.
Do you think it was because of the iron armor, though? Or?
Well, even if it's with the iron armor, but it was just
That it had the mandible.
I did.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool.
But it was also him, the way he was like jumping around and doing that kind of stuff. I mean, he wasn't flying.
Yeah.
He was jumping.
It's the idea that the Spider-Man we've seen in Civil War was just like a street level fighting crime. Then we get Homecoming, where Tony like tells him, "This is who you. This is who you could be, but you need to learn."
Yeah.
And then when we see him at the beginning of Infinity War, he's become that person.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got the spider sense now, and
which was really cool to see. And I did like when he was on the ship, and he's like, "I can't breathe." And he's like, "You're getting too high." And he's like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense."
Yeah.
So, and then the armor saves him, and then it's Friday. Take him home.
Yep.
And he stays. And then I like when Tony's like, "What are you doing here?" He goes, "Well, it's your fault. You made the suit too intuitive."
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, "Forget I said that."
Yeah.
So, the final battle.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last thing we talk about.
Yeah, sure.
At like 45 minutes.
Like I said, we're not doing a 2-hour podcast.
No, and we don't need to do 2 hours on this. The final battle was much different than I thought it was going to be.
How so?
Well, the fact that it wasn't as big as it could have been because of the force shield, and then the smart move that they made to actually let a part of that army in.
Yeah.
And like kind of do the Gates of Thermopylae thing where it's like, you know, there's, you know, the 12 superheroes and then the people with spears and, you know, shields.
Yeah. Literally, it's the you send your biggest guns to the front line and then you have the back. Line be the people who can defend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Black Panther is running and then Cap catches right up to him, that was such a
moment. Yeah.
That was such an awesome moment.
Genetically altered.
Yep. You know, the whole thing with Black Widow and Okoye versus Proxima Midnight was really cool. And then Scarlet Witch taking out Proxima Midnight like the way she did. And then Scarlet just delivered that line so well where she's like, that was gross.
Yeah.
So I like the whole leaving her with Vision to protect him.
Yeah.
And to destroy the stone once they were able to get it out.
Right.
But then she entered the battle when she had to.
Right.
But that's kind of what they were planning on. And then the whole, well, why wasn't she up here the whole time? It's like, well, you know, that's not a bad question. Why not leave Black Widow and Okoye behind
to
protect Vision and have her out there? But I also think that would have made it too easy because she was really the only one who could stand up to Thanos anyway because she had a power of the stone.
Cap.
Well, and, I mean, Cap did what he could do.
Well, and I, you know, I was like, that was perfect because they never said that he wasn't like, you know, the only way that Thanos was able to beat him is to side punch him, like, out of nowhere. Because it's like, you know, but Cap could take Thanos.
Yeah.
In a fair fight.
Well, yeah, but who's going to fight fair?
Yeah, not Thanos.
No.
I like the idea that Thor is so scared that he won't come out.
Hulk.
Or, yeah, Hulk. Thor, sorry. Yeah.
So do you think he was scared?
I think he was
scared. Or do you think he's just fed up with Banner?
No, I think he was frightened to come out.
Because that's what I thought, too.
He got his ass handed to him.
Thanos handed him his lunch. Yeah. Like, yeah. And those scenes were great where he would try and turn, and you'd see the Hulk face, and he'd be like, no.
Yeah.
And then snap. The way he snapped back in.
Well, it gives you a different perspective that they haven't really acknowledged, that he can talk to himself. Yeah. So we'll see more of that.
You big green a-hole.
Yeah.
There was a lot of cursing in this. Like, I mean, minor curse words.
PG-13,
like,
baby.
But, like, I was shocked by the amount of cursing that was in it. And then what else? Oh, Banner in the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah.
Which is what you said. Yep. I mean, you know. You were right and you were wrong, because in the preview we did see the Hulk running with the crew.
Well, the old duck blind there. Yeah.
But I love
that was one of those things where I thought he'd be in the Hulkbuster armor until Hulk come out, and then, you know.
But I think without Hulk coming out is really cool, and it opens up the Hulk to return.
Oh, sure.
In the next movie to really make the difference, to make that last
minute
return.
The only one we know is returning is Thanos, because that's what it said at the
end. Thanos will return.
Yeah, Thanos will return.
But again, Josh Brolin just did such an awesome job.
Yeah.
As Thanos.
I'm curious to see his next role.
We only have to wait a couple more weeks.
Cable.
So. All right. So, real quick, what would you rate this? Scale of 10.
8.
I'm giving it a 9.
Yeah.
I think it is a 2.5 hour plus movie that flies by.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does not. Like, there are some pacing issues here and there, minor, but it doesn't feel like it's a super long movie.
Yeah. There's nothing that I really can, like, rip apart about this movie, but I just give it an 8.
It's Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
With that ending? Yes.
Yeah. And then the post credit scene.
Mother.
Okay, so obviously they don't know what's happening in Wakanda at the time, because everything's happening at the same time.
Right, it's not like there's news reporter cameras flying over Wakanda while this is going on.
And then they don't know where, all they know is that Tony's disappeared.
Right.
So having Maria Hill and Nick Fury show up. Who are they working for?
I think, like, they're working for Tony.
You think? Okay. Yeah. Like, they're part of Stark or part of the Avengers Initiative.
Sword.
So, well, that was my thought, is Sword. But having him with the old school pager.
Yeah.
Sending the message. Yeah.
That literally, I was like, oh, cool, she's in space. Because I was like, that looks like tech that Peter Quill would have... used at one point. But the problem with that is not a lot of people know who Captain Marvel is, so I had a lot of people asking me.
Well, and I did too, and what, I think it was a good idea to do it that way to help raise awareness for Captain Marvel.
But that would mean that you should have done a free comic book day as Captain Marvel, and, you know, put a little bit more Captain Marvel out there.
There's a lot of Captain Marvel out there in the Marvel books.
Well, I meant, you know, like, cinematically.
Yes. I agree.
Because not everybody's going to go read comic books.
Well, and I mean, this movie made $630 million over the weekend. It did $258 million.
And yet every comic book company is like, we are not making money.
Right.
So that tells you something.
Part of that, I feel, is on the publishing side of Marvel and DC, because they're not doing enough with the local comic shops to be like, hey, why don't you partner? Here's stuff to go partner with your movie theater.
Right.
That sort of thing. Cause they're all by movie theaters. We have 9 comic book stores in Cincinnati. We have 30 movie theaters.
Right. Because they want to charge money for everything.
I get it. But, like, but they shouldn't. That's the thing. Right. Like, they shouldn't. They should be like, hey, look, you buy this level of book from us. We understand that. We love it. We love this partnership.
Everybody's listening to this, you know, hopefully the day before Free Comic Book Day or Free Comic Book Day. Be aware that the free comic books you get are not free. The stores have to pay for them.
They do, yeah.
Because they're charged for the advertisements in the comic book.
Right.
So when you go to the comic book store, if you're going to a comic store, buy something.
And if you come
if you buy like a $3 book, you're helping out.
Yeah, and if you come to Queen City Comics in Pleasant Ridge on Free Comic Book Day, Johnny and I will be there, and I will be happy to recommend one of many trades that you should be reading.
Hopefully they're all there. Hopefully there's a lot of Infinity Gauntlets.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, so I want to close. Okay, so you gave an 8. I gave it a 9.
Yeah.
Which
I give most movies I really like 8s because to be a 9 or 10, you have to, like, blow me out of the seat.
I feel like this did that for me. It did what it needed to do to get the 9 from me.
Right.
'Cause I haven't given anything.
But I think like my issue now is that there's so much of this, there's so much of Star Wars that I've just like mellowed out on it. Like it's just leveled out to the point where I'm like, oh, hey, another. Well,
neither one of us have given anything a 10.
No.
In like 2 years. So
trying to think if there's any movie that I've seen in the last 5 years that I would give a 10.
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
All right. So let's
remember that old movie? That's the one I gave a 10.
Okay. So you shared with our group text with the Coca Bros. Shout out to those guys. The list of your MCU order.
Yeah.
And so I took it upon myself to put my list together. Why don't you run through yours real quick and just kind of give like a brief reason as
and
to
there's
why.
No good or bad.
No,
just,
this is
the order that I enjoy these movies.
Our lists are different.
And everybody's aware that I don't have a great like of Avengers Age of Ultron because of Ultron.
We're on the same page. Yeah. So, all right. So, why don't you go ahead? You do your list, and then I'll do mine.
I'll start from the top and go down to the bottom. Captain America: The Winter Soldier. Obviously, because it's probably the most earth-shaking of all the Marvel movies.
Yeah,
like had the most like major story.
It had the highest stakes.
Yeah, but I think it just was the major story because of the twist was like more than anything that I think any Marvel movie had done before.
Well,
and
they introduced Hydra for real,
right?
And you know, up until that point, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had been in its first season, and even
we
knew it was Hydra, they called it Centipede, and so
second one is the Avengers, obviously because of what it was. Guardians of the Galaxy is number 3. Infinity War is number 4. The first Avenger, Captain America: The First Avenger, is number 5. Captain America: Civil War is 6. I don't even have to say numbers.
Yeah.
Thor: Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Black Panther. Iron Man. Guardians Volume 2. Doctor Strange. Ant-Man. Spider-Man: Homecoming. Thor. Iron Man 2. Thor: The Dark World. The Incredible Hulk. Iron Man 3. Avengers: Age of Ultron. And if I was doing this as a numbered list, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, and Spider-Man: Homecoming tie.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
But I don't have to go back and watch them.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So mine is...
I don't need to go back and watch them.
Yeah. No, and that's a great list. I mean, it really is. And I understand why you did the list you did. And you know, no...
I had to... But when I posted on Facebook, I had to state that there's no hate toward any of these movies. There's just this, like, of parts of these movies.
Well, I told you, like, I gave you the pizza analogy a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, Age of Ultron is, like, pizza that's not very good.
Right.
But it's still pizza.
Right.
Kind of a thing.
It's the the Papagino's microwave pizza.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
All
right.
So mine go Guardians, number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier, number 2. And kind of, depending on my mood, those could kind of
flip-flop.
But
typically
it's Guardians. All right. Thor: Ragnarok came in for number 3 for me. I've fallen in love with this movie.
Right.
I think it is.
Well, you bought it.
I did. Yeah. And it's such an awesome, like, Jack Kirby thing to see on screen. So, my number 4 is Infinity War, like you.
Right.
My number 5 is Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the first Avenger, I've seen Ant-Man more than any of the other movies.
Yeah.
First Avenger comes next, then Spider-Man Homecoming. Which I again, that's a movie I adore.
Yeah.
That one's kind of fallen on the list for me a little bit.
I haven't seen it since I've seen it in a theater.
Like,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good thing, but like, it's kind of like the X-Men for me, where I enjoy those movies, but unless I'm really in a mood, I'm not watching X-Men.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So then after Homecoming comes Civil War, then Black Panther.
Yeah.
Then Guardians Volume 2. And then I go Thor, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Avengers, Dark World, Iron Man 3, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, mm-hmm. and Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, Iron Man 2 is that low because of Mickey Rourke.
Okay.
I think if Justin Hammer had been the sole villain and had done a drone program,
yeah,
like what they kind of ended up doing,
right?
But it had been Justin doing the drones, and they didn't have Whiplash mailing it in, and you have the amazing Sam Rockwell just undermining Tony in front of Congress at the racetrack,
right?
Just kind of all along the way, and then at the Stark Expo, kind of, you know, the like mustache
Whiplash
twirling
should
happens.
Have been a minion,
yeah,
yeah.
And I think they kind of, that's what he was supposed to be.
Right.
But they went and they got Mickey Rourke.
Right.
And I hated the idea.
Well, was that when, what was that movie? The Fighter? Wrestler. The Wrestler. Yeah.
So, but I hated the idea that this guy was just as smart as Tony and he could make
just
all the same
stuff.
Because
his dad was smart.
Because his dad was smart.
Right.
Whereas like Tony was smart because his dad was smart. But Tony was smart because he was legitimately a genius.
Well, when they revealed that his dad experimented on him when he was a kid.
Well, that was in the comics.
I think
and
they
he's
could
not
use
even
that
Tony
story.
Stark.
That
would be really cool to change kind of the whole Howard Stark mythos. But the other thing, too, is, you know, Obadiah Stane is like, he made this in a cave.
Right.
You know, Mickey Rourke's character had access to everything, and it still took him forever to make it. And then all he could do was little whips.
Little whips, yeah.
Without any of that stuff. So for me, that's why Iron Man is that low, or Iron Man 2 is that low. I personally appreciate the trolling that they did in Iron Man 3 with the Mandarin.
Yeah.
And I think it was there to set up a fourth Iron Man movie that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
Where the Mandarin comes back to reclaim his title.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, it's possible. So.
But that means that, like, if any one of these movies, if someone's like, hey, do you want to watch any one of these movies, I'm saying yes to all of them.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't think, like, you know, Age of Ultron is one where I'll watch it just because it is a decent movie. I mean, but it's not like the Star Wars movies where if you say, hey, let's watch The Phantom Menace. Nah, I'm good.
I'm okay. I watched
that. Why don't we put Age of Ultron in instead? It's literally what I would do.
I watched Phantom Menace like 10 years ago. I'm all right.
Yeah. I've seen it twice in a theater. I'm okay.
All right.
Oh, yeah, and I bought the box set. I watched it once because I watched all of them in the box set.
I have all the stupid movies. Anyway, all right. On that note, going out, let us know what you guys thought of Age of Ultron. Come find us at Queen City Comics.
Infinity War?
Thank you.
Let us know what you thought of Age of Ultron.
Honestly, I'm interested in what you thought of Age of Ultron. But like, let us know what you thought of Infinity War. Did you enjoy it? Did you love it? Did it live up to the hype? Was it a piece of crap? You let us know. Anyway, we will be at Queen City Comics in Pleasant Ridge for Free Comic Book Day. Come find us. We'll have like some stuff to hand out.
I'll be
comics.
Behind the counter. You know, forking out books.
So, and I'll be behind the counter sometimes, giving Johnny a little break behind the counter, but I'll mostly be floating, helping you.
Otherwise,
find.
I flip the counter.
Yeah, I'll be helping you guys find whatever books you're looking for out in the.
Is Cincinnati Comic Expo going to be there this year? I don't know.
I
haven't
even
asked.
Look, but I'm excited because I get to pick up my short box of books from the last few months. So I'm going to be a busy boy. All right. On that note, thanks for listening.
We appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast,
We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Johnny Potter, and I'm on most social networks at Brian Tudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.